Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world.
That's right. Wake up, everybody. The world we live in has gone to sleep. And we're going to try to wake up everybody as we discuss this theme today. The world we live in. We want you to come and join us at MPH Radio and help us fill in this missing pages of history dealing with the world we live in. On the voice of MPH Radio, the order for today will consist of giving you something to think about, followed by Black Mirror Facts with Susie, a message to the community from Alex Jordan, and then we will open up and discuss our theme, the world we live in. And like always, we'll make a call to come forward and help join us and support MPH Radio and its organization. This is the 16th day of July, 2022. At this point in time, we want to give you something to think about. You have heard this before, and we're going to reinforce this particular concept of freedom. Freedom is a concept that many people have fought over, died over, and continue to do so. There have been walls among walls around this concept of men and women fighting for their freedom. And as we look at the world today and the crisis that are taking place in millions of people's lives, we have to ask ourselves, they are fighting for freedom, but what is freedom? And we'd like to give you something to think about when we talk about freedom. In the context of freedom is having the abilities and means to control those necessities for life. Let me repeat that again. Freedom is having the abilities and the means to control those necessities for life. Now, how does that concept of freedom fit into your understanding? Think about that, and later on, you'll be given an opportunity to call in and share your thoughts. So right now, like always, we can go to Damn Black Mini Facts with Susie on MPH Radio. We're going to bring her in, and we'd like to welcome Susie. Susie, teach our youth something about that history. What Black Mini Facts you have for today?
Okay, for today I have from the PRSP calendar 2022, we're going to start with July the 11th, which is Nicaragua Movement predecessor to NAACP, was founded in 1905. And on the 12th, Elijah McCoy patented the heavy machine lubricator in 1872. And also on that date, Africans in Newark, New Jersey rebelled against capitalist oppression in 1967. On July the 14th, Denmark Vesey planned slave rebellion on this day in 1822. And on the 15th of July, Africans admitted to segregated public schools in Philadelphia in 1882. And last, on the 16th, Assata Shakur, African revolutionary, was born in 1947. And also on this day, the first atomic bomb tested by U.S. imperialists sparked a nuclear arms race in 1945. And last and final one for the 16th is Ida B. Wells was born in 1862. I've just given you a few mini facts from the PRSP calendar of 2022.
Thank you, Susie, for your MPH Black mini facts. And what we're going to do is take a break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to bring our brother Alex in as he has a message for the community. This is MPH Radio.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. superior over me. We talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, they tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Fast I surf into Richmond, where the ghosts of childhood haunt me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Pass those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be, he guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. My brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. You said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason, it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
We'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. We want to take you back to the family tree. Sometimes in order to go forward, we must go backwards. Go backwards and learn and correct the errors you have made so you'll be in a better position to move forward in the future. And that's what we're going to do today on MPH Radio. We're going to do just that by going to a brilliant young brother who has some thoughts he would like to share with you. You're going to give our community a message that we hope that you will learn from. And at this point in time, we'll bring in Alex Joyner, and we'll back to MPH Radio. Welcome, Alex.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lee, and also Susie, and our invited guest. I appreciate this opportunity to share with you some knowledge that I've uncovered and the wealth of knowledge that Mr. Lee and Miss Susie has uncovered, and especially our guests who entertain us from time to time. So over the past week, I have been visually and mentally traumatized as I watched the video of the execution of Jaylen Walker. I had extreme compassion and sympathy for his parents as they left his coffin open like Emmett Till's mother did in the 60s following the murder of her son. Yes, cold-blooded murder with no regard for human life to bring the suspect in order to receive a fair trial. I have yet to even find out why Mr. Walker was even being chased. The police stated a traffic equipment violation. Was it a burnt-out taillight that prompted the desire to end his life by the officers involved? There were 8 officers who were running on a foot chase after Mr. Walker. Could not one of these officers have finally called him from behind and tackled him to the ground, as I see on many police dramas? If they could not catch him, could they not have served a warrant on him later? He had exited his vehicle, and his information was surely in their records. In many a chase involving people of color, things often go wrong before the police and the citizens must suspect. They are sworn to protect and bring into custody. The cover-up of the police actions and the campaign to degrade and criminalize the dead victim to the public almost begins immediately. I have often mentioned that the color of your skin can sentence you to suspicion and a wrongful death. That being black is not enough for just suspicion, ire, and swift civilian justice. Ahmaud Arbery's father said, what we all know is true, my son died because of the color of his skin. We as a people cannot continue to ignore this growing racism in our police departments. Running while black and unarmed should not be justification to shoot you for a simple traffic violation. Mr. Walker's execution has been overshadowed by the person he was. As a former athlete in high school, he loved to run. He was on the track and baseball teams and was an outstanding wrestler. His coach said he was humble and he had the best mannerism of a young man. He was known as a comedian. He loved to make his friends and family laugh. He was a hard worker and a dependable young man. At his funeral, nothing but good words were spoken by all who knew him. He loved to smile and make friends. He was a good kid. Many thousands paid their respect to him at his funeral and protest of his shooting. Now it's my duty to give him my respect. He could have been me or you. His decision to run or flee when he exited the vehicle was wrong. We must talk with our children on the consequences of being unarmed and attempting to flee the police. In America, it is a no-win situation. Death results more than 90% of the time. On June 27, 2022, in a few short minutes, and after more than 90 shots fired at him by 8 Akron, Ohio police officers, Jaylen Walker lay dead. Bullets were still being shot at his body while his body was down. No longer a threat to anyone. There was no need for life-saving measures of the ones who shot him received. He did not deserve rescuing or resuscitation. When there is no reasonable defense of such a terrible and senseless action, the police use their turn to attack the lifestyle and character of the victim. Another young black prince's life was taken on suspicion, not on the facts of innocence, until proven guilty of a crime. His moments on earth will be remembered. Gone too soon, my prince, to join the ancestors who were abused in America. I lift your name, Jaylen Walker, to our Father who art in heaven, to receive his child. The men who tried and convicted him did not see his life as one they chose to preserve. Now, eternally, he belongs to the ages. A terrible reminder of what some people think of unarmed black men in America. I had to watch it over and over again. I wanted to hear the awful sounds of the rapid gunfire that accumulated to more than 90 rounds fired at a suspect being chased. As I listened at the end, there was a pause, then another burst of gunfire. Lived through this. My heart sank. My mind was saying it didn't happen. Yet the sound in my ears brought me back to reality. Only in America will an unarmed black boy or man be chased like an animal and shot numerous times until his body shows no sign of life. The sheer number of bullets fired at the police is often viewed by as excessive force by law enforcement in the eyes of the public. Law enforcement excuse me, just a second. Law enforcement and experts in police law who have reviewed body cam footage say the officer's response reflects standard police training. Officers are trained to shoot until the threat they perceive and or reasonably believe is present has ended, said Lance Russo, a lawyer who specializes in the use of force cases. But the experts warn that the U.S. police training lags behind other countries when it comes to addressing the psychological and physiological aspects of force. The United Supreme Court has agreed that under the Fourth Amendment, if officers are justified in firing at a suspect in order to end a severe threat to public safety, they need not stop shooting until the threat is ended. It ends up in the courts to decide whether the officer's assessment of the threat was reasonable. Police are trained not to shoot the wound. A high number of bullets and deadly outcomes that often results from the use of force scenarios boil down to marksmanship, said Edward Abasis, the deputy sheriff of Palomas County, California. Despite what Hollywood portrays, like Lethal Weapon, Dirty Harry, all these other movies and television shows, there is no cop out there that even comes close to that type of shooting skill. Add that to a moving target, poorly lit environment, and rapid evolving circumstances, aiming at the largest target is the safest method to avoid hidden, unintended targets. Legally speaking, there's no difference between a shooting a suspect in the thigh as opposed to the chest. The shooting of a person in any body part in the same level of force, deadly force, and must be justified under the law. Adding that either shot carries the same degree of risk of serious body injury or death, which is the standard to justify the use of deadly force. Many officers, they are armed with semi-automatic weapons that are able to discharge an entire magazine, usually about 15 to 17 rounds within seconds, who also works as a use of force consultant to law enforcement agencies, believes that the officers did right. When it comes to the point of start firing, it is the officers' decision. Unfortunately, the adrenaline, the stress, they take over, and it cannot be just clinically explained in terms of what's right and what's wrong. Our ability to see it later after it happens is one thing, but being on the scene may change things. Multiple officers to the fold and the number of the bullets to charges increases tremendously. Generally speaking, police training in the U.S. is far behind most countries when it comes to addressing use of force situations. While proper use of force can be taught to officers in about 17 weeks, this is something that requires months upon months of training, and they are simply not getting it. When we look at everything that happened to Mr. Walker that night, it reflects back to a song that I heard years ago by Junior Walker and the All-Stars, and it was called Shotgun. Shoot him when he run now. I am wondering what went through those officers' minds when they pulled out their guns and just continued to fire at the young man, and I have no idea what they perceived as a threat. But I like to go back and state that Mr. Walker, he would want anything violent to go down. He would have wanted everyone to stay calm and be reasonable. Not to do anything crazy or reckless on his behalf, because that's just not the person he was or he may be portrayed. Mr. Walker, rest in peace. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Brother Alex. You have been listening to a commentary from Alex Joyner. All views that are expressed in our commentary section are totally the views of the author. And it's not necessarily the views of this radio program, nor its numbers. If you'd like to respond to any commentary, please email mphradio@yahoo.com. Just mphradio@yahoo.com, and we will get the author to respond back to your questions and issues of concern. Again, Alex, we thank you for your commentary. And at this point in time, we're going to take a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to continue to travel down the road of filling in our missing pages of history as for the 16th day of July 2022. That page will be the world we live in. And we'd like you to come and join us by calling in at 818-337-0016. Hit 1. We will acknowledge your last 4 numbers. So we're going to pause for the calls, and we'll be right back. This is the voice of MPH Radio. I do welcome you back to MPH Radio on the 16th day of July, 2022. Now we make our transition to our theme today, is the world we live in. Yes, we're going to talk about some things about the world we live in, and we invite you to call in and share with us on this topic as relates to what are the things you see that is impacting the world that we live in and how can we make it better. At this point in time, we're going to ask you to focus your attention on this particular article that was titled, The Future of Cars is a Subscription Nightmare. Excuse me. The Future of Cars is a Subscription a Nightmare. And the subtopic, heated seats, remotely started key fobs, and other creature comforts are likely to be subject to monthly or annual fees. Other words, what they are saying, in essence, there's a new practice of marketing cars, well, features that you would normally consider as part of the cost of the car. They demand transfer and separate those features from the car and have you paying it as if it's a service or something. We'd like to have a discussion on the implications of that method of producing cars and continuing to, they say cars get more expensive to make and profit margins dwindle. Automakers are coming up with new and lonesome ways to squeeze more money out of their customers. Subscription-based access to vehicle features like heated seats and remote starters keys are the latest attempt to charge people for things their car already came with. Question is whether consumers are going to lay down and take it. These are new games that is being played now in the world we live in. So right now we will open this discussion up to you, the listening audience, and tell us what y'all think about this new method of squeezing more money out of the people as relates to, as some would say, double and triple dipping, charging you for features that should be part of the normal car sale. Brother Alex, you had a chance to take a look at this article. What were some of the things that came to your mind as you read this article, Brother Alex?
Hello, Mr. Lee.
Yes, Brother Alex.
Yes, I can hear you. Yours. Okay. Not giving truly away my age, because I think, you know, the longer you live, the more mature you get. But I want to go down memory lane just before we get to that point, Mr. Lee, and remind our viewers that at one time, cars didn't have roll-up windows. Cars didn't have radios. Some of them I rode in didn't have AC. There were a lot of things that cars didn't have. Some of them didn't even have a rear view mirror. And it was just amazing how we got from place to place, how we could drive from New York to Florida without AC or without listening to the radio. So we made our own music, and we used the fan or made out as best with the ice or water we could get from service station to service station. So I've worked in the automotive industry before, and I've worked for Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors, and parts companies. And our biggest concern was to see how much money we could get out of the consumer. So years ago, a thing was developed called OnStar at General Motors. It seems like we just didn't get enough out of cruise control and electric windows and everything else that we were adding, pop-up trunks, remote trunks and everything, that we needed something else. We needed something more to drive up our profit line. And so these features were constantly being added every 2 to 3 to 4 years, and all of a sudden they were being added yearly. And before 1 year got out of the way in 8 months, we had the new model ready to be sold with more added features. Well, at this time, they were sort of like we would say giveaway features, but it gave us a reason to increase the cost of the car. Because usually, once you start making a car, that within 4 years, you've worked out most of the kinks and supply problems, and usually it costs less to make the automobile. So even though the supply of steel and different things that we use, vinyl, whether it's leather or whatever, sometimes the prices go up, sometimes the prices go down. But usually by the third year, the fourth model year, the price to make the automobile was usually much less. So we also increased our profits heavily in the fourth year just before the new vehicle changeover, because if you notice, the grills and the headlights change about every 4 years. So we had enough profit to cover that new prototype cost. So that's how it is with the car industry. Until they could find a way that people were satisfied with paying for all OnStar. And a lot of people have Alexa at home and with smart houses. And so now, you know, we're being infected with smart cars. But they want you to pay for it now. And paying for it will also increase their profits. Because we got to realize, yes, this is a capitalist society. Wherever they can make money, they're going to do it. So whether it's Volkswagen, Toyota, Porsche, Tesla, it doesn't matter. They're going to give you added features to your vehicle. But now they want you to do a subscription where bi-monthly or yearly that they can add more money back in their pocket. Because as the cars sometimes become more dependable, the shops are losing money in repair because the cars are somewhat more dependable than they used to. So the dealerships have to find a way to get more money. And lots of times these are independent of the manufacturer. But a lot of these subscriptions do go back to the manufacturer, goes back to the dealerships, and goes back to the shareholders who have invested into the car companies or the dealerships. So it's fattening their pockets also. So that's the most important thing that, you know, I got out of it in all my time of working there. And I've always felt that it was wrong, that when you left the car lot and you wanted a radio, you wanted this, you wanted that, or whatever, you were done paying for it. Why do you have to continue to pay for something over and over and over again? But because we have been seasoned into paying a monthly phone bill for phone service and all these other things that we pay for software, and they can so easily get this money out of our pockets until they say it won't bother the American consumer. They'll go ahead and stomach it and keep paying because they want to drive back and forth to work and travel around the country. But to do so, you're going to have to pay up. So I think the only solution is to have the buyers that want to purchase these vehicles make formal complaints because it's a buyer's market. They don't know it. But, yes, it's a buyer's market. If you don't buy the car doesn't sell. They don't make profits. They have to cancel the line. They have done that many times. Many, many different versions of vehicles have went out because of that. So when the consumer gets to get together and form a coalition to fight these different things that come up, then fine. But as far as Congress stopping it, your senators or congressmen, no, they're already in the pockets of General Motors and Ford and Chrysler. So that's not going to happen. But anyway, I'm going to turn the mic over to the audience because, you know, I want to hear what the callers have to say. And thank you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Alex. We're going to go to Susie get her express opinion on this article and maybe what she took from it. Susie, the mic is yours.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much what Mr. Jordan was saying, I agree with. And when you think about it, when you think about years ago when they put the telephone in the new cars where you could use the phone, we become so accustomed to certain luxuries and everything. I think a lot of individuals, they're going along with the subscription because they are spoiled to the point that they can't do without it. And unless we have independent dealers or whatever, like Mr. Jordan said, maybe if they started buying up the cars and basically not necessarily offering a lot of these features like heated seats, and you'd have like the normal old seat, then basically maybe we could have like a market where we go back to even some of the older cars and the way they were built, so we can somewhat get away from having to have all these luxuries and avoid paying a subscription. That's my opinion.
You know, Susan, Alex, and the listening audience, one of the real interesting things that came out of the article is that even with the extra features, they already talk about how they 3 or 4 times charge you more than what is really value. So it seems to me we're talking about a form of legalized stealing versus quote-unquote unlegalized stealing. But what they have in common is both a form of stealing. That's one of the things I took from it. We're going to go to one of our listening callers. We're going to bring our caller in. Your last four numbers are 6057. Caller 6057. Welcome to MPH Radio. Your thoughts on the subject or the future of cars is a subscription nightmare.
Thanks for having me. I think that automakers are not making what they think are sufficient profits off of their cars. So they've come up with this mechanism of having people having to subscribe to get certain features on their cars. And it's an intensification of capitalist exploitation, in my view, because people are having to pay additional money for what used to be standard features in their cars, and they have to subscribe to it. And the only way, to beat this type of exploitation is for the consumers to get better organized. And to organize and resist this efforts to further exploit them and their resources. And of course, there's some people go along with it because there are a lot of people out here that want to keep up with trends and what have you. But this is going to intensify until people get fed up with this this type of exploitation and organize to fight against it. That's my takeaway from this article.
Thank you, Carl. You made me think of something else. It's not just limited to the automobile industry, but it seems to be affecting all industries who develop this kind of attitude of theft. For example, I'd like to share with my listening audience, and somewhere down the line, y'all can respond back to it later, is that I went online the other day to purchase a flight ticket. I was going to a another location. And they have a process which is very similar to what the auto industry is doing to the people when you, as we talk about this question of subscription. What I had to go through was a very sophisticated form, again, of the same technique that the auto industry are using. And I wonder if any of y'all have experienced the same thing, and that is, when you go online to purchase your ticket, the airline make you pay for the cost of the flight. Let's say you're going to L.A., you're going to L.A. from the East Coast to the West Coast, and your flight was $800 round trip. But you have to pay for that first. Then after you pay for that, then they tell you you have to pay for your seat. Now, this is the first time I've ran across it. I've been told it's been going on for a while. You have to pay for your seat. Not only do you have to pay for your seat, but they have different prices depending on the location of your seat. Now, my question is, what are we paying for when we pay the $800 for a round flight ticket? Wasn't it should have been assumed automatically when you purchase your ticket for the flight, your seat is part of the flight? And after you finish that, then they tell you you have to pay for your luggage. Well, you know, normally when you're talking about your flight, your luggage is always a part of it. Now they have separated that and making you pay for this as a separate item. So when will this theft stop? This is just another form that other industries are picking up in stealing from the people. And I make one other point, and I go back to our listening audience, they can weigh in on this discussion. We see city governments doing the same thing. For example, you used to get a water bill where you had one price, say, for water. The usage based upon the cubic feet of water that you use, you would get a water bill for one price. Now, in some cities, you have a cost for the water bill. Then you have another cost to your water bill for distribution of the water. Then you have another item as part of your water bill saying the cost to maintain the water pipes or lines to bring the water to you. What is this all about? Charging you additional money for the same things with a different name. How long will the people continue to put up with this trickery and theft? So I thought I'd just give y'all something to think about again as we look at the world we live in and where we're going. I'll take my next caller who's been patiently on the line. And caller, your last four numbers are 7236. 7236. Welcome to MPH Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon. I think the new wave of thank you so much for allowing me to give input. In reference to the water bills, they have changed substantially in that you once received a biannual bill. Now it's a quarterly bill. At one point, it was an annual bill. And as you see, with the problem like in Flint, Michigan, where for cost-saving purposes, the governor and others decided to take Flint off of the Detroit water system and put them on the Flint River, and you've seen the number of deaths, and you've seen twice the case being dismissed against these former elected officials and government employees. But to get back to the issue of water, water is now increasingly a commodity, and that is one way with global warming and the situation right now, we're going to see continued increases on water. But subscriptions in general are the wave of modern capitalism right now in the, what do we call it, in this age of social media and this thing. So many things were offered free, and once you become accustomed to them, you now find yourself having to pay. So I see subscriptions as a wave. It's the way of the future in, you know, modern capitalism, 21st century capitalism, and that is to have you paying subscriptions for maybe your access to Google in the future, to any number of platforms, and this is just what's going to happen. And with the electric cars, maybe they'll make it more convenient if you have a subscription to the charging station so that you'll know where you can charge your car and that sort of thing. So I see this as a economic trend, a way of raising revenue or increasing your revenue, the bottom line for the corporations. And I also realize that the Supreme Court coming up in this upcoming session is going to address the issues of corporations. And I think it's really trying to give the corporations more power, less oversight, and greater control over itself without monitoring, you know, the whole less is more, less government is more. So instead of having the corporations being monitored by the state and their production in this thing, we're moving away from that and greater independence for the corporations. So I do see these subscriptions as a wave, a new wave of the future. And
Carla, before you leave, and I'd like other people weigh in on as well. You know, probably one of the first ways of doing this subscription thing, we can look at the TV industry. How for years we had free television. Then all of a sudden came this concept of these so-called cable companies and the different packages where you normally would get the program free. Now you have to pay for it. Matter of fact, now when you look at sports, when it comes to key events, they no longer free. If you want to see a championship game, many times you have to have this special package network to see this. So it seems to be in the world we live in today, this is the path they're going down. Your response, Carla, to the TV aspect of doing the same thing that the car industry is doing and
that's
city governments are doing. See, like everybody is joining this game to rip the people off.
That's an excellent example, quite frankly. It's an excellent example of how the state was involved in allowing us to have to pay for television. And it's really impacted the community in that many folks don't have access to things that they should have access to. Like, for example, at one point you could look at your local municipality on TV at no charge, but if you don't have it as a part of your cable package, you don't ever get to see what your mayor, your council person, or anyone's doing. You don't get to see what the president's doing because you don't have a subscription. So the television is clearly an example. I think it's been well over a decade since they privatized the television, in that they offered everyone boxes, and they went off of analog and began to, you know, instead of analog TV, we went to, like you said, satellite television or what we call cable. That is an example of this new capitalism and how it's going to be with social media having such a great impact, meaning our telephones, our computers, our televisions, our cars, as you said, water becoming a commodity that people are struggling in the United States to have clean water. Indigenous people are fighting pipelines to keep their water clean in the Midwest. People in Flint, Michigan are dying and suffering of cancer because of dirty water. So you see this as a wave of the, once again, and not to be redundant, of the 21st century capitalism, and definitely television. Television and the telephone are examples of those two things. You know, you see a lot of youth crime, and it's because they need telephones, and the state doesn't give them phones at no charge. They have to purchase these phones or have the credit to be able to get a phone free by having an account with Verizon or T-Mobile or Xfinity or whomever it is. So you see it right now causing a lot of economic strife for the working class, and as well as I think even the middle class with this inflation that we have right now.
Thank you, Carla. We'll put you on hold. You can come back later on as we continue the discussion, the world we live in. What I want to do is go back to Alex for a second and the other people said to weigh in. As a continuation of this practice of subscription and submarine thing that should normally come with a service or with a product and make it into a separate entity so you can milk more money out of the people. Brother Alex, I'd like for you to respond to a continuation of this practice by the state, in which in a lot of cities now, they have now took public roads where you drive through. Public roads, and they have privatized these public roads, in which they are saying that you must have some kind of license to be able to park on a public street. Some have gone as far as on public roads, you can't even drive to those areas if it's declared as a public property of that particular area. What do you make of that? That they took the taxpayer money publicly, and they are privatizing the same streets where the same taxpayers who funded these projects, these streets, can no longer park there or drive you there without any particular special permit. Your thoughts on this, Brother Alex?
Well, again, once we look at the money situation in America, it is the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. It has already been calculated what a family brings home, whether there's just a one-parent family or two parents. Then depending on the age of the children and whether they're at home or not, how much money they're contributing to that family. So the odds begin against you the moment you start working, because they use your paycheck to determine how much you can pay. And they give you a thing called a poverty line of how much you truly can afford or can't. Whether you go to a doctor's office, a hospital, whatever, depends on whether you're showing a Medicaid card or some insurance card that's out of this world that they can charge it until the hilt, how America sees the individual. Now, you are all about to make money off of. Every agency, whether it's government, state, whether it's private institution or whatever, they aim to make money off of you. The only way they can do it is to know about how much you make. So we are described by our neighborhoods where we live. And we get sometimes private contractors and engineers, and they say, well, we can designate this area and put up gates, and we can build toll roads, and only certain people can travel on it and pay the toll. And I think a famous example of that was called the Dulles Toll Road, if you remember that years ago. But Richmond until Douglas Wilder, I remember all the tolls that were in Virginia. And then all of a sudden, a lot of them came down. This is what we have to look at. If we do not get together and organize and say these things are wrong, yes, they will build roads, privatize them with our money, along with federal and state funds, but with our money, because we're paying the taxes. You pay it every day from your check. You pay it every time you go to a grocery store, every time you fill up gas. You pay federal and state taxes on so many different things. You pay federal and state taxes on your cell bill, on your phone bill, sometimes even on the water bills we were talking, because they come out of ours. So there are so many ways to tax you, to remove the money out of your pocket so that it can be given to someone else, because that keeps the ball rolling for the rich so that corporations can continue to have or show huge profit margins so that they can have these investors that, even though we were shut down for 2 years and didn't go anywhere, that the rich got richer. Even though most of America was at home, they continued to profit. This country has always been about the dollar, D-O-L-L-A-R, the dollar. It will continue to be about the dollar because that's the only way it sees itself. It sees itself as the wealthiest nation in the world to continue to do so. The same thing that we supposedly broke away from Great Britain, taxation without representation, taken from the poor to give to the rich over in England, is what the colonists at that time despised. But there was a grand old plan being factuated by our own Continental Congress that saw that the taxes of the poor in America, that they could reap huge benefits by taking over this country, doing it the way that they wanted to, only include the rich and the wealthy and leave the poor behind. That's what America got its beginning from, taken from the poor and given to the rich. To reverse this, the people of America have to come together and say, hey, no more. We're just paying too much. It is too lopsided between my income and your income. I don't forget now how many times that they said that the income level was between the average citizen and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and all the rest, but it was so many astronomical. At minimum wage, $7.50 an hour, and these guys are making billions of dollars a year. It is unreasonable that the American is being treated that way. But we have become accustomed to it. There are not many voices in Congress that are going against all these raise and rate increases, whether it's from your landlord, whether it's from the car dealerships, whether it's from the food stores, whether it's from the gas companies. It's like my hands are tied. We can't do anything. You just got to ride it out. That is what we're hearing from our politicians. But riding this out is hurting the poor. More people are homeless. More people are starving every night. More people are in despair about what's going on. So we must begin at some point to think about, yes, the people that make America great. Not great again, but make America great. And that's the people that are out here working that 9-to-5, that are trying to make it from payday to payday so that they can pay all these outrageous bills. If you look at what you get by the time of a gross on your check, by the time your net payout, there's a lot of things missing there. So once we go out into society, then start purchasing and buying things, then we're being hit again. So we have to truly and honestly think about what we want to do and challenge our congressmen to make laws to protect us. And that's all I have to say. And I thank you.
You know, I'm going to direct this comment to caller 6057, and I will open up the lines for others who would like to respond. If you would like to respond and you're on the line, please hit 1. please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last 4 numbers. Please hit 1. But caller 6057, another form of this subscription concept of milking the people can also be viewed in terms of seeing how we deal with professional sports. Why is it that cities with subsidized building multi-million-dollar football and basketball stadiums, but it's privatized, or other words, it's owned by an owner, by an individual? We build it, but it's privatized, owned by an individual. He walk away from the profit. This is definitely a high level of sophistication, corruption, and thievery. Your response, caller 6057.
That is true. I mean there are a lot of cities, in order to attract tourists, they publicly they allocate bonds or other public funding to build these huge stadiums that are privately owned, but yet the public, that is the masses of working people, subsidize their construction. And the rationale given is that it creates jobs. That's what the community gets for publicly funding these facilities. But it is another form of exploitation, because individual owners make a bulk of the profits from these stadiums and arenas. And the people that live in these communities get nothing in return. They often have to pay for tickets to see events in these arenas and stadiums, often exorbitant amounts of money. It's another form of exploitation. Capitalism, as it advances, as has been pointed out by several socialist scholars, tends to turn everything into a commodity. Not only the individual, but even their wants and desires are turned into commodities. And so, as capitalism advances, the conditions get worse for the working and poor people of the capitalist society until they organize thoroughly enough to say enough is enough. We're going to put an end to this. But that takes independent political organization. And the existing Republican Democratic duopoly works in the interest of the ruling class only. They really don't care about the suffering of the masses of workers in society. And that's why this keeps happening. And it will continue to happen until the workers organize and form their own independent political organizations that are accountable to their interests and not to those of the wealthy.
Thank you for your comments, caller. We will put you on hold. We'll go to our next caller, who's been waiting very patiently. And we're going to bring in our caller 9048. Caller 9048. Your comments.
Good afternoon. I am Deborah, calling on behalf of Mothers in Support of Fair and Equal Treatment. And I've been enjoying your program this morning, this afternoon. I'm going to try to answer your question, but the gentleman before me, he did a great job of answering it. So I don't want to be repetitive. But your question was, how long will the consumers put up with this? And I agree, until we organize. I know Reverend Barbie, I think it is, or Barbara, I may be mispronouncing his name. He has the
Reverend
Poor People campaign.
North Carolina. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So until we really get involved on all of those issues, but the challenge is this, we are exhausted. I talk to so many people, and they're just tired. We are just completely exhausted. So we would need to be organized and have someone to really speak and fight for us, because we're fighting so many things. You know, we're fighting the policemen. They shot all these brothers. They shot this brother, Mr. Walker. We're fighting that. We're fighting the racism, the discrimination in the schools where they don't want to teach Black history. We are fighting so much, and we are aware of what's going on, and we see it, but we know it's another fight. And our energy, we're just so tired, and we are saying, why are they doing this to us? Well, they're doing it because of greed. We know, most of us have been raised in America, know that you go into business to make a profit. But a profit, the idea of a profit has changed now. It's no longer they just want to make a profit. They want to have everything. They got to have 10 houses. They got to have 2 jets. They got to have everything. So when you're going after that, then you don't care about people. You don't care how we, the poor people, go to work every day and how we are treated. So I just want to say I'm enjoying your show, and I have really enjoyed the comments that have been expressed on your show, and I agree with them. But I think we are going to put up with this a long time because we're just so tired. And if with the younger people, like my son, the younger generation, they don't know what it was like before. So they're looking at this as nothing. You know, they're just going on, well, if you don't want it, don't get it. You don't have to get it. You know, you don't have to have a heated seat. That's not the point. The point is, why are they trying to charge us for everything? But they can't see it, because in their mind, this is all they have seen. This is all they know. Then you got to really break through this younger generation's mind to say, hey, you know, this is too much. They're taking advantage of us. You know, they don't understand just having a phone. I hate cell phones. I want my old black phone on the table. Because every time I turn around, I got to get a new cell phone. Why are they doing this? Why are these phones so they last you a year or so? By the time my contract run out, I got to buy a new phone. So they are killing us on every end. And it's a constant fight, and it's a constant struggle. And I think until we can get more people involved in that Poor People campaign, get more people in there so we can get some legislators in, some politicians in, some people in, and we're going to have to keep getting them in, because they get up there and they get bought and paid off, and then they forget about us. So we're going to have to really do a lot of work to do it. But I just want to address your question and say, I think it's going to be a long time, because the people I know are just exhausted. And thank you for listening to me and allowing me to express my views. And y'all have a blessed day.
Is Sister Dapper? You see your name Dapper, right?
Yes.
Sister Dapper? You know, Dr.
Yes.
King said we have some difficult days ahead. And he didn't tell no lie on that one. We got some difficult days ahead. But given the fact that it's the reality, I think that all the things you have stated is true. Probably the most important thing that we are missing that will allow us to see things more in its connectivity. Because all the events are not isolated. They're all related. We don't know how to connect the dots and see them. And the reason why we can't do that is directly related to we are disorganized. People talk about the issue is through organization. It's only through organization we'll be able to see things clearly. And because we are so disorganized, we are organized to be disorganized. This is what allowed these forces to be able to continue to dominate us. But we know, like Frederick Douglass stated, that if you don't allow no one to, if you don't have your back bent over, no one cannot, settle you if your back is straight. And how long and what they'll be able to do is dictated by what we are willing to let them, what we are willingly letting them do what they want to do. If you allow people to do things to you, they will continue to do it. The only way we can stop it is you must decide it's no longer going to take place. And we can do this, and we'll do it. We'll do this, and we are doing this. Just that the enemy never show you the progress that people are making. But once we get organized collectively, we'll see things a lot more clear. We will understand how things came to existence. Therefore, we know how we can eradicate it. And I'm just saying to what I'm hearing from you is continue to struggle. Because when you struggle, you're also creating a climate for progress. And that's the only way we make progress, through struggling. So anyway, sister, we thank you for your call. And if you will give us permission, we'd like to further talk to you and see if we can do some things together. Mr. Page of History and Page Radio and the community and forces that you were working with. If you give us your permission, do later on, and we can have that discussion.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, we thank you, my sister. What we're going to do is we're going to take one more call, then we're going to a station break, and then we're going to a second article of interest that deal with our theme today, the world we live in. So we'll come back and take this call again, caller. Your last two numbers, 7236. 7236. Your comments, please. 7236. The mic is yours.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating situation because one thing we brought up were the telephones. And it's interesting right now that frequently, in my experience, the taxes on the phone are greater than the bill itself. The landline and the taxation is the bill is doubled and plus $10 because of the taxes. So there is not only the taxes that we're dealing with, but also in other situations, the service charges and fees. As you said, if we want to look at a particular sporting match, we have to not only pay our normal subscription price, but in addition, we have another fee. So these fees, and then when you talk about the highways, it's almost like a privatization of the highway. If you pay and have, and your card is swiped, or it's, you have your situation so that as you go through the turn gate, it's able to scan and you pay the fee, you're able to access the roadway where there's less traffic, this sort of thing. And these are the highways that we've paid for, or that the workers have paid for with their dollars as well as blood, sweat, and tears. So you see a declining infrastructure, a failure to move the Biden bill to build up the infrastructure in the United States, and you see increased heights in the charges on the roadway, double taxes, double, triple taxes, and the corporations with their service charge fees. And so we are in a real, we the people are in a crises. Maybe the middle class or the upper class, if this is the cost of doing business, because they can write it off. Jeff Bezos paid zero taxes, and he's running around wondering who published this information. But it's interesting that one of the men that was declared the wealthiest man on earth was paying zero taxes when we're paying just for the phone, $50, $60 a month in taxes. So they're taxing us, as Mr. Jonas said, privately, you know, individually, for different resources that we use, as well as taxing us as workers and annually on our income. So this is a crisis that is impacting the working class tremendously. I understand that California, I understand from one of the former lieutenant governors that California has several million homeless. Now, I don't know if I misheard or what, but this homeless problem and the homeless working, and now you even have to, you're living in a shelter, but you're paying to live in the shelter. So there's a real change in how the working class is living, rather than their quality of life going up. We see the institutionalization of housing, of how food is managed. We see the prison industrial complex growing. And we see the militarization of the police, and this is just of the society in general, not only the police, but also the security industry in becoming militarized, carrying weapons and receiving weapon training and that sort of thing. So this is a political crisis. And the other thing is social media. Social media in this country has taken the minds and hearts of so many people. You see these mass shootings. Many of these shooters are enjoying the same sites, social media sites, and they're attacking the working class. It's okay, but if they attack government, I think, or corporations, I think it would come to a stop quickly. So there is definitely a great social divide. And it's the workers against the corporations and private industry. And that's where we stand in today's society, because there is a lack, there is no patriotism, you know, to the United States. There's just money. That's what counts, money. Not anyone, not anything, not any country, but just their bottom line. And this is where we are right now.
Thank you, Carla. What we're going to do right now, this is MPH Radio. This is the voice of Missing Pages of History. We're going to take a station break and play some music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Amazon and its relationship with the institution of authorities that we call the police, and how they have undermined the privacy and the integrity and the dignity of the citizens of this country. We will have that discussion when we return. This is MPH Radio.
Thank you. like me. Those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough. You never felt pretty enough. But imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now. All gone. Every sin, every mistake, every failure, it's all gone. Depression, gone. By faith, gone. Low self-esteem, hallelujah, it's gone. It's all gone. It's gone. All my scars, all my pain, it's in the past. Yesterday, it's all gone.
It's gone.
What your mother did,
gone.
What your father did,
gone.
Hallelujah.
Imagine Me by Kirk Franklin. That song is a tribute as a remembrance, and we like to send out and express our love to our minister, Sister Mary Hart. Sister, hang in there. We with you, and we're going to win that battle. You want to just give our gratitude and say hello. Stay strong. So we welcome everyone back to MPH Radio. We're discussing the world we live in. That's right. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes you wonder how you keep from going under. And we will continue this road as we continue filling our missing pages of history. You know, listen, audience, there was an interesting article to talk about. Today I learned Amazon has a form so the police can surveillance your property inside and outside without you even knowing it. And they don't have to get no legal approval for the courts. Amazon have created a particular form where the police can sign and they can just use your own camera. You know, these ring video cameras people have in their homes where they can monitor what's going on outside. But also, those cameras can be used to monitor you, what's going on inside your house. And they are now using this pretext that if they perceive some kind of danger, some kind of threatening incidents that may happen, police can just automatically just go to Amazon and give them approval to use it without you knowing it. And there's no oversight on how long they can keep your data and the information that they got from your home by using the Ring video camera. Now, when we talk about how difficult it is for the people to get justice and freedom and fairness, one of the things we must look at is what tools exist in this society that are being used to keep our people divided and oppressed. And you can see from this article that the state has many tools, and one of the most newest tools is the Ring video cameras that everyone is now being encouraged to buy and put in their homes and don't understand how it also can become a tool that can be used against you. So we'd like to discuss a little bit about the world that we live in. This is a good thing to give the police force free carte blanche where they can survey your community, your home, inside and outside, without you knowing it. And no one can can hold them accountable because they can say they never violated no laws, no rules. Brother Alex Stardazol, give us your assessment, your analysis, your analysis from this article in this issue. Brother Alex, the mic is yours.
Well, Mr. Lee, when I first read the article, you know, you always try and be a little optimistic, and, you know, you want to side on the right side of anything and believe that whatever has been invented, it has been invented for your benefit, you know, and especially not to invade your privacy. We have a big problem in this country, you know, with privacy and privacy laws, even though the Constitution, you know, stated that, you know, your home basically was your castle. But now your castle can be invaded by electronics, and we call it, you know, well, one company will say Amazon. So whether you have the Echo, you got the Echo Spot Show or the Amazon Fire Stick or whatever, Google Nest can, it's just so many of them out there by Amazon. And they can, yes, the police, if they got suspicious activity that's going on in your neighborhood and they want to find out maybe who's been robbing houses, well, they all use the neighbor's cameras from house to old. They have a security cam there. Let's see. Well, in certain instances, you know, this seemed like a great tool. It's something that, you know, if you're a homeowner and you want to see who's breaking into houses, then that they give some proof. Because now, you know, the videos are not as grainy as they used to. But years ago, I had an employee, they always would put tape over the camera at work in the office. They would put tape over their camera on the laptop and on the desktop. And I used to wonder why. And she would always make sure that her mic was turned off, you know, regardless, whether she was searching through the app and just see to make sure that nobody was listening or looking. I didn't realize it at that time, but we moved forward into that era of what these companies can do. What are they going to use that information for? I have no idea. What are the police going to use that information? We have no idea. Because truly is an invasion of privacy if they're looking on the inside of your doors just to see what you're doing. Well, they may find one in a million bomb maker. They may find one in a million, maybe someone that might do harm to someone. But if they just went out, as the sister said earlier, and go to the social media sites, they probably would find more what's going on, because these guys leave a wealth of information out there on these sites. So I don't truly understand, you know, why Amazon has always felt like it had to spy on you. And you can stop. As they say, you can go online and look it up. Does Amazon listen to your conversations? You can put a stop to Amazon employees listening to your voice recording. And the Alexa app, go to settings, Alexa private, manage Alexa data. You can turn off your cameras when they're really not supposed to be recording. They can come on. I mean, people do not realize these things. I have seen so much stuff on here until, I mean, it basically scares me of what Amazon can actually do. And this is all without a police warrant. And what you have to do to stop your phone from recording you or looking at you or your computer from looking at you or recording you, and you have no idea, is someone watching me through my phone. The following signs may indicate that someone is using your phone's camera to watch you. Suspicious background apps, camera misbehaving, odd files in inexplicably low storage space. Someone can be watching you through your phone. Isn't that amazing? But I like to go to the other callers on here and find out what they got to say, because this thing has really intrigued me, and I want to see if there's some horror stories out there about you know, some information that may have gotten out from somebody that maybe shouldn't have. And I turn it back to you.
Okay, we can go to this caller who has been very patiently waiting. See if you have any thoughts and comments on some of the things that have been discussed so far. Caller 4298, caller 4298, welcome to MPH Radio. Any thoughts
and
comments?
Thank you, Brother Lee, and greetings to the Susan and Alex and all the call-ins. I don't want to distract from the conversation, but I wanted to put in a little announcement, a public service announcement. Here in D.C., we have what we call the Claudia Jones School of Political Education. And today at 4 o'clock at the Simon Boulevard statue at 18th and C Street, Northwest D.C., there will be a ceremony celebrating the 43rd anniversary of the Sandinista Revolution and also celebrating the recent election in Colombia of the leftist government. And so I wanted to put that in there. Obviously, in terms of the situation, the capitalist system is digging us for all the money it can get. It's coming up with schemes and different ways of doing it. Until we get a hold of this beast, that's just the way it's going to be. And I'll just leave it right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. And next we'll go to Susie. She was sharing thoughts on this article and how these cameras are being used as surveillance by the police without having to go through any kind of legal authority to do so. Susie, what's your thoughts on this issue?
The only thing I can say is that, in a sense, it's not surprising, because when you think about the capabilities that you have with a computer, in a sense, these cameras is just a small component, but it's still on the lines of being a computer, because the thing of it is, it conveys things to you. So it's not surprising that Amazon or even other individuals or whatever would be able to penetrate a camera. Because when it was first designed, you know, they wanted to be, because you got to be able to cover certain radius. So therefore, you knew with them saying, let's cover a certain radius, then naturally you can have, because of the technology and everything, you have anyone, companies, individuals or whatever, that's able to use this technology to penetrate. So it's not surprising that it's done, but I know there's ways out there where you can also probably program it to block it for a certain extent, but that defeats your purpose, because you sort of have that security that you can see what's going on outside of your realm of being inside of a house or building. But that's all I have to say.
That's an interesting observation, Susie. We thank you. Let's go to caller 6057. And get the caller thoughts on this. Caller 6057, the mic is yours.
Thanks. Let's see, this is a very serious concern because a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people have these Ring cameras or devices which they installed for their own protection, not realizing that it could be used to as a mechanism to spy on them. And this is a very dangerous situation, because this can be used to monitor your social and political activity as well. And, so it makes it harder for us to organize when you're constantly being monitored. And I think with September 11th, 2001, there was this big concern about security. And I think capitalists and the government have exploited this obsession with security to try to impose monitoring methods that monitor our every move. And a lot of us don't realize it. And, you know, and the thing about it, though, and because, you know, security is the, you know, is the big buzzword for the last 20 years. And as long as it's in the name of security, a lot of people tend to go for it. And it creates a various dangerous situation in which it makes it harder for people to organize resistance to their oppression. And that's all I have to add to that.
Thank you, caller. We're going to call 7236. Your thoughts on this issue, caller. 7236. Can you hear us, caller? 7236? Okay, while we wait for caller 7236 to get a mic together, let's see what caller 9048, if that caller has something she would like to contribute on this question of camera and security. Caller 9048, any questions or comments you'd like to share on this thought?
Well, someone in your arena probably can answer this question for me better. I thought that this was all issued in 2015 when President Obama pushed through that second Patriot Act. Maybe Brother Alexander probably can inform us better. But that's when I started hearing about all this, and a number of people at that time were saying that under the guise of security that he was pushing the second Patriot Act, which was going to give a lot of corporations access to our information. But that's just a question I have. I don't know how accurate that is. So if anyone can address that for me, I would like to know, did that have anything to do with where we are today? Thank you.
All right, thank you, caller. Let's go to caller, back to caller 7236. Caller 7236. Any question or comments? Okay, we try to bring caller 7236 in. Going once, going twice. All right, we're going to move forward. All right, she's talking about the Patriot Act. Caller 6057, I know you may have some history behind this, understanding this concept of Patriot Act. How does this tie into all of these issues that we are dealing with today, caller?
Yes. It ties in because the Patriot Act gave the executive branch additional powers to monitor people to prevent, quote, terrorism, unquote, you know, in the U.S. And as I stated earlier, you know, all politicians have to do is invoke security. And there are a lot of people that are willing to fall for anything behind that. And two of those are versions one and two of the Patriot Act. You know, it's a dangerous situation because it gives government agencies to build the ability to monitor your actions without your consent. And you know, and it's you know, and it's makes for a dangerous situation because it makes it easier for government agencies to violate individuals' rights without the individual having recourse. So it is a very dangerous situation And one of the things that when we're better organized that we have to push for is the repeal of both of those acts, because they're mechanisms really for stifling political dissent only, and not for protecting the masses of the people.
Thank you, caller, for your response. At this point in time, what we're going to do, we have to come to a closing of this particular program. We're going to take a quick station break with some music with a message. When we come back, we will have Alex and Susie give their final thoughts. We'll make some announcements, and this will be a contribution to Cillian and our missing pages of history as it relates to this theme called The World We Live In. This is MPH Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Back to MPH Radio on the 16th day of July 2022. We'd like to thank all of our listeners and participants who join in with us today to help us fill in one of our many missing pages, which was The World We Live In. What we're going to do now, ask Alice, give us some final thoughts. And then we'll make an announcement. And thank you for your participation again. So right now, Alex, Will you share with us some of your final thoughts as relates to today's program?
Yes, I've totally enjoyed myself, and I've enjoyed the many callers that have called in, and I'd like to give one direct response back to Deborah on the Patriot Act, if I can, Mr. Lee. And that is,
of course you can.
When Obama was a senator, he condemned the Patriot Act for violating the rights of American citizens. He argued that it allowed government agents to perform extensive and in-depth searches on American citizens without a search warrant. He also made it possible that the United States, you know, to against foreign attacks or terrorist attacks while preserving individual liberty. He did a 180 reversal on that because there were other bills needed to be passed in 2014. So as Congress makes laws and the president only signs the bills, there's give and take in the Senate and in the House to make sure that a bill passes. So whether he wanted to or not, sometimes the president is forced to sign a bill once the Senate and the House has approved it. He can veto it, but they can override his veto. I'm pretty sure that they told him if he vetoed it, they were going to override it. So by him not having control of the situation, he decided to do so to get maybe some other bills passed. I have no idea what his intention was or what the situation was, but usually that's the consequence. You give some and you take some. Well, as we move on, he even said in his speech that he knew that this was going to take some civil liberties away from many people, that the FBI would be sharing information, maybe the CIA, maybe the government agencies of all sorts could be putting your information out there on the web or whatever. So there was a lot that went down that these companies wanted to make sure that they could get their hands on your information, whether it was to the credit card companies you were applying for a loan, whether it was a car dealership you went in and applied for a loan, finance company, whatever. Your information could be leaked. Everything could be told. Your net worth, whatever, could be publicized. So there were no safeguards in the war after 2014, truly, on your independent private liberties. It was all basically taken away. So there's very little left. So it's just amazing how you treat your citizens of your country, how a government that you voted in can turn its back on you as far as your civil liberties. That's what we have to face in this country, is how our country perceives the less, and I mean less fortunate of this country. And I mean the less fortunate starts at the middle class. Doesn't really start at the poor. Starts at the middle class because that's where the most of the taxes are aimed at. The business class, depending on how well they are doing, how well they are investing, they do very well. And there are safeguards put in place for them to do even better. So I have truly enjoyed myself, and again, I just like to bring back and say I am still horrified every time I look at that video of Mr. Jalen Walker. I just can't get it off my mind. I have two sons of my own and two daughters, and it just tears me apart to even think that if they got out of their car and just was nervous, afraid, or whatever, and if they took two or three steps to run, that any officer on this spot would think no less than to pull his weapon and shoot them. Whether they got a gun in the car or not, the gun's in the car is not on them. When we lose the respect for people, then we're no more than beasts and animals ourselves. So I just wonder if we've gotten to that point that we've turned on each other and became as the beasts and animals, unruly in the land. And I give it back to you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Alice, for your participation. We'd like to thank all our listening audience and all our participants for their participation on today's program, The World We Live In. We'd like to remind our listening audience that there has been a reschedule for the Freedom Ride to Cuba to January 2023. Based on many people who expressed a desire to go, understanding the changing of the conditions, many felt like they needed a little more time to get the necessary resources. So we, MPH, along with the African Awareness Association, we have rescheduled the trip to January 23rd through 30th, 2023. So you have more time to get the necessary resources to join us. Also, we'd like to remind you that MPH Radio is a bi-weekly program, and next program will be on the 30th of this month, the 30th of July at 1 p.m. We are asking you, if you listen to this program, support this program, can you please just send us a one-line email saying that you support or you listen to MPH Radio by emailing us at mphradio@yahoo.com. We need to have direct communication with our supporters and our listening audience so we can share with you timely information that you may value that may have a great impact on your well-being and your community. So if you support and listen to the program, please just send us an email and let us know. Because based upon this process that we have engaged ourselves in, you can listen to us. You have access to us, but we don't have access to you. We don't control that. The network that does this, they have the information, but they have a policy of not giving it to the listening audience, to us who listen to our program. So we need your support so we can stay in touch with you. Now, until next time, we will ask you to continue. Describe to go forward, hour, back whenever. And remember, organization is the key. Let's get organized. Let's work together. And if we can do that, all things are possible. So we thank you for joining us on MPH Radio today. And we will go out on this particular song. Will reflect the reality that we live in, and that is we are living on the front line. Thank you for listening to MPH Radio.
we are here, bombs over Baghdad, trying to get something we never had. Let's start with a good dad, so real but it's so sad. And while we burning this incense, we gon' pray for the innocent. Cause right now it don't make sense, right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about Chi-Town, let's talk about Gaza. Together so that we could love each other, brother, we are here. We are here for all of us. We are here for all of us. That's why we are here. Why we are here. We are here. No guns made in Harlem, but yet crime is a problem. He wanna shine and wanna rob them. Single mother, where they come from? How we gonna save the nation? With no support for education. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart touch your heart. Let's talk about living. Had enough of dying, that's what we all about. Let's do more giving, do more forgiving. Yeah. Souls were brought together so that we could love each other, sister, we are here. We are here for all of us. We are here for all of us. That's why we are here. Why we are here. We are here.
Here.